time, folks!
So this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think, oh, think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of
Welcome into Overtime, FanRun Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the FanRun Radio studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys today, as always, going up until 8 p.m., slow news day today. It's going to slow down as we get into the offseason, but a couple of things I want to talk about. Tennessee basketball had a couple of news today, some finalization and recruiting ranking statistics. Also, Tennessee football landing a transfer today as well. We'll get to that and many, many other things, but before we get to any of that, fellas, how are we feeling on this Wednesday afternoon?
I'm feeling pretty good. The day is very dreary, ugly, not a great day, but as a whole, I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling okay. I get to start a new day job very soon. You know, another moneymaker for me. I'm very excited about that venture.
Would you like to disclose? Or are you trying to keep that one a secret? I don't know how you guys play day jobs. Like I don't talk about my day job a lot.
I'm probably just, you know, no.
Fair enough. I just wanted to ask.
I'm just getting a new one.
Congratulations on the new job. Gonna less time for golf.
No, I will still have just as much time for golf. I'll be sure of that.
Well, do you know if you're starting this day job on Sunday?
Be honest with you.
What's on Sunday?
I was supposed to he wants to go golfing on Sunday. Okay. The thing is, isn't Sunday Mother's Day?
Like, what?
I think Sunday's Mother's Day, is it not?
What?
Yeah Sunday's Mother's Day. It's also graduation.
Yeah, so we can't go golfing on that day.
I promise, I'm glad you Did you not know
I
that?
Said this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you got to start getting some stuff together.
Alex Comas, confirmed, bad son.
Yeah, okay. No, it's cool.
Alex, what month is Father's Day in?
You got some
time. I know my dad is probably listening. I know that one. That's in June. I got that locked up.
Right.
But the fact that Pops hasn't given me any forewarning that Mother's Day is this weekend.
Yeah. Well,
I think, to be fair, he's maybe trying to teach you a lesson.
Your dad's mom is not the same as your mom.
That's true.
I mean,
a couple degrees of separation there.
But I believe there's still, you know, they're both.
There's a connection.
Still significance there.
Yeah, they both share a connection to a similar mother. Yeah. So, yeah, you probably should not go golfing on Mother's Day.
But I mean, I'm going to be here.
Okay, well, my mom would be pretty upset if I went golfing instead. True. We're supposed to go out to eat or something like that.
UT's graduation is Sunday, correct?
Saturday. Sorry. Or yeah, there are some graduations on Sunday.
My sister's is Sunday, so I don't know how college graduations worked. I dropped out of college, so I didn't know if they were all on one day or
they're split up on multiple days. Which Sundays? The forecast for this week has been changing.
Yeah.
To where when I looked at it earlier today, Friday and Saturday, it looked clear for the most part of showers, and it would all come Sunday. And I checked again, like maybe 6 hours later today. And the showers are now going to start on Friday, potentially.
Oh, good. So
happen potentially on my graduation on Saturday.
Right.
And then happen on Sunday as well. So all graduation ceremonies may be screwed.
Well, are they not indoors in Thompson Bowling Arena?
No, it's Neyland Stadium, is it not?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Neyland's cool.
COVID?
And COVID, social distancing and everything.
Oh, really? Is it not always in Neyland, though?
No.
Really?
No, it's usually in Thompson.
Oh.
Like, Farragut's was supposed to be in Thompson, but COVID obviously postponed it to, like, June 19th or some stupid stuff like that.
I'm cool with it being in Neyland.
That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
But when rain's in the forecast, not as cool.
Especially when you have a giant arena to put it in.
Wear a poncho over your cap and gown.
I can use the robe as the as the poncho, I guess.
Yeah, but the robe will just absorb the rain. Then eventually it'll get really heavy.
True.
Yeah. I think you go checkerboard poncho.
I don't have a checkerboard poncho. I don't have a poncho in general.
Do you know where you are? I'm sure they sell them somewhere around here.
I think you just brave the elements.
No cap, no gown?
No cap, yeah.
Just nude, bearing the elements, taking on the rain.
That was a weak one.
I was going to say something,
trying.
But I can't remember what
bear,
I was going to say.
You know?
No, Will just needed to come stronger with the no cap.
Okay.
Yeah, no cap. I probably should have come stronger for that.
No cap.
My bad. That's on me.
It's all right.
It was too weak.
I'm sorry. I have to be aggressive with my slang now.
Yeah, you got to say it with your chest. I think Kevin
with
Hart
your puns,
said.
I have a hole in my
strong.
Chest. I can't say things with my chest.
That's tough.
I have a concaved one.
Okay.
How am I supposed to say things with my chest?
Say it with your, I don't know, your long arms.
Someone said something with their chest.
Who said it?
He probably shouldn't have said it. Giants GM Dave Gettleman.
What did he say?
He always says things with his chest.
Gettleman, quote, Daniel Jones should, quote, really make a major stride in year three.
Okay, buddy.
New York Giants general manager Dave Gettleman targeted upgrades in weaponry this offseason, spreading...
weaponry.
spending big to bring in free agent receiver Kenny Golladay and then using his first-round pick on Kadarius Toney. We all know that. And Gettleman said, obviously, this will be a big jump, he said on Monday on WFAN via the New York Post. This is the year two to year three, that Daniel should really make a major stride. We're looking forward to seeing him thrive. Alex Comas, is this the year of Daniel Jones?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that you hope it is.
I tell you right now if it will be? No.
Gettleman's telling us, so can you?
No.
No.
Because Dave Gettleman, and he's come out and said this, that the Giants front office has more confidence in the offensive line than the fans and the media do, which seems to be the case considering we didn't draft an offensive lineman in the draft, not a single one.
Especially with a ton of them falling.
Yeah. And we're bringing back basically everyone who was on the offensive line last year. So, like, I'm pessimistic of how the offensive line is going to hold up. And then we're going to be stuck in the same situation in which we've been stuck in the last two seasons, in which Daniel Jones, you know, has signs where he looks like he can be the guy. But then, you know, he has those ugly moments where he's turning the ball over a lot.
I believe I saw a stat yesterday. He's played 25 games and has 29 fumbles.
Yeah. I don't think 29 fumbles, but he fumbles a lot.
He's got 29 in 29 games?
Let me find the
exact stat. I feel like that's a stat.
It might be turnovers.
Could be turnovers. I would believe turnovers, yeah. Including fumbles, interceptions.
Nope. Daniel Jones has appeared in 27 games. He has somehow amassed 22 interceptions and 29 fumbles in those 27 Jeez. Career games.
Yep. Shoot. No, I don't think he's going to show he's the guy.
Joe Judge had this to say, look, Daniel is the last guy that's going to use anything as an excuse. What I would say about the injury last year is that it was much more serious than maybe people thought on the outside. I would say probably 90% of players in the league who would have had that injury, including quarterbacks, would have been on IR for the remainder of the year.
What
That's
injury?
Just the reality of it. It was much more severe than maybe he allowed people to know or the information that was put out there, and we're going to protect our players by not disclosing everything about their injuries, to be honest with you. He fought through a lot of things. He earned a lot of people's respect.
What injury?
He kept it under wraps. Did he get injured last
Warrior.
Year? Warrior. Warrior.
So
Daniel Jones.
So
Warrior.
That is why he was bad, right? I mean, so he's going to be great next year because, he's 100% healthy, right? He's ready to roll?
Seems like it.
I mean, healthy as a horse?
Fall at the end
thinking?
Of the race.
No fewer than 40 touchdowns next year?
A hamstring injury.
Yep, that'll do it. Yep.
Well, also, December 16th, 2020, also sustained a low ankle sprain that was, quote, sore.
Oh.
In addition to the right hamstring strain. So it's not the year of Daniel Jones. It's a sad reality to live in. I thought maybe it could be. I thought maybe we'd get optimistic Giant fan, Alex, instead of pessimistic Giant fan, or realistic Giants fan, I should say.
That's just the way I am with almost all the teams I root for. I'm going to think of the absolute worst before I think of the best.
What about the New York Knicks?
Oh, no, I'm thinking up on that. Oh, Four seed in the East? Who would have told me that beginning of the season?
I think I said like earlier in the season, like the Knicks being like a 4 or 5 seed, and you were like, no, that's crazy.
Oh, I called you crazy.
Yeah, that
you guys called me crazy.
Hand up, I definitely said it.
Now here they sit. I believe.
I mean, who thought Julius Randle was going to be able to continue this great play? They're only seven games back from first place. Standings right now in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia 76ers in first. 1.5 games back from them are the Nets. 3 games back from the Sixers are the Bucks. And in fourth place, 7 games back from first place are the New York Knicks. In the Western Conference, though, Phoenix Suns and the Jazz tied for first place right now with 3.5 games back. The Clippers fall in third. And the Denver Nuggets are 4 games back from the lead, and it's a big drop-off from there as the 5 and 6 seed, Mavericks and the Lakers, are both 10 games back from first place there. But a big Knicks guy? You excited about the Knicks this year?
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I think everybody's excited about the Knicks this
year. They've won 13 of their last 14 games.
It's a lot of W's.
Yep. And they managed to keep it close in the games that they do end up losing. Mm-hmm. Like the only loss they have in that stretch is to the Phoenix Suns, who are the number one team in the Western Conference. And it if you just look at their schedule, you know, past those 14 games that they've lost, I mean, when they play some top teams that you expect to make finals runs, they keep it close. I mean, the Nets, they play the Nets twice in a span of a week after they got James Harden and Kyrie and KD. And they kept those games tight and barely lost those games, including one of them on some poor refereeing, in my opinion. But
that's just the NBA.
Yeah. But, Tucker, I actually have a question for you regarding your
do you have an answer for him?
Your Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
How do you feel about the play-in tournament, and if the Lakers do end up falling into the play-in tournament, seeing potentially Lakers-Warriors in a play-in tournament round rather than just like a regular playoff series?
It's like a regular series, right? It's to 7?
So, no. The 7-8 seed play each other in one game to see who gets the 7 seed.
Gotcha.
The loser of that game plays the winner of the 9-10s facing off. And then it's basically that one-off game to decide who gets the 8 seed and plays the number 1.
Huh.
So, if the Lakers end up with the 7 seed, and they face off against...
if you lose 2 times in a row, you could fall from the 7 seed to out.
Yes.
Whew. That's kind of stupid. But how do I feel about the possibility of having to play the Lakers in a one-off game for the 7?
I guess, how do you feel as a fan, like, for your team...
To be in the situation?
I guess it takes away from seeing them in a series. Because potentially you're eliminating 2 of the like biggest...
Yeah.
Franchises in recent years.
Yeah. I don't really like that. I feel like it should at least be a series to, like, you know, a best of three.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, at least a best of 3, maybe a best of 5, even if you wanted to extend it a little more. But I don't really like having the 9 and 10, you know, have a possibility of just winning a game. You got to win 2, right? 9 and 10 play each other, then the winner of that. I don't know. Especially with them being, like, well, they're all kind of close together. Now that I look at the records, I mean, I would like to only play. I don't even know. I think I would rather play the Lakers right now. If it came down to that, I think you could sneak up on the Lakers with like Curry absolutely goes off, has one of his, you know, games of late.
They are injury ridden. Not a ton of chemistry between the players on that team. A lot of fresh faces and Andre Drummond and some other guys that. Would be an entertaining series nonetheless. Big game for the Knicks tonight against the Denver Nuggets, looking to try to snap Denver's home winning streak. They will be without a couple of guys. Monte Morris, obviously Jamal Murray. PJ Dozier will be out tonight, as well as Will Barton. Nikola Jokic is a day-to-day as well today. So something to keep your eye on there. A huge game, kind of battling just to see where these New York Knicks really do rank, because these teams are kind of equal in standings across the board. Obviously, 1 in the Western Conference, 1 in the Eastern Conference. Real quick before we hit this break, how do we feel about the Nuggets' chances? The Knicks as well, but I start with the Nuggets. How much does Jamal Murray's injury impact this team? Obviously, we've kind of seen them fall a little bit, but they really haven't gone away as much as a lot of people thought they would do you see this team still maybe making a chance at a Western Conference final run? I don't think they're a finals team, but a Western Conference finals push I could certainly see from a Denver Nuggets team with Jamal Murray. Do you still think that can happen without Jamal Murray?
I disagree with you a little bit on that in terms of the Western Conference finals.
I think that with Jamal Murray. My question is, would they still be able to get to that place without Jamal Murray?
Not without. Like, even though Jokic is probably – he's the odds-on favorite to win MVP this year. He's been playing absolutely ridiculous. He's going to average a triple-double. I don't think him alone is going to get you through some of the other teams in the Western Conference with the way they're playing this year, like the Phoenix Suns, like the Utah Jazz, the Clippers. – I mean, the Lakers, we know they're going to turn it on come playoff time. So, for me, it's just there's too many dominoes that have to fall their way and a lot of obstacles that they'd have to overcome that I think without Jamal Murray, you don't have enough quality to beat those teams.
That's fair. I tend to agree. What about the Knicks? Do they have a real shot at winning? I don't want to say anything because, like, winning feels nice to kind of get the Knicks brand back in recognition. You're going to be building off of this for a while. Hopefully this will revitalize the Mecca and make people want to come play in New York again. So maybe not winning something, but how far will this team go this season and how much will that impact the next offseason?
For me, I think they'll go – I think they can maybe win a first-round series. If we get Atlanta in the first round, I think we can beat Atlanta. If we get – potentially the Celtics in the first round, I think we can maybe knock off the Celtics. That one's tough to judge.
That's very dependent on it, just if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum show up or not.
Yeah. But if we get Miami with that 4-5 matchup, I don't think we beat Miami.
It's fair.
So just a first round win.
Fair enough. And do you agree with me? I really do think, like, the Mecca – New York is the Mecca for basketball. That's like the Big Apple. Everything has been talked about the Knicks, and that brand has clearly needed some repolishing. Obviously, the last time making the playoffs was with Melo and that Amon Shumpert team, and it was not a fun time in the playoffs for that season.
Well, fun times. They went to the Eastern Conference semis, took the Pacers to six.
Sure, but it's been a long time coming.
Melo had a torn labrum. What do you expect the man to do?
I'm not pooping on it. I'm a giant Melo guy.
He needs his shoulders to shoot.
He was trying.
He was carrying us, too, on a hurt shoulder.
He just cracked the top 10 for all-time scoring. I'm a Melo guy, okay?
I do love Melo, too.
But with this season, do you think it's going – like, I think it's going to have a positive impact, and we could see the brand have a little bit of a revitalization.
It looks a little better to free agents.
Exactly. I mean, you started seeing new avenues, like Miami being South Beach and L.A. obviously getting all the attention. But New York is a city that deserves the attention of free agents. Do you think it's finally back to that level?
I mean, we just signed a EuroLeague point guard today.
I saw that.
Argentinian player.
Big moves.
Yep, from Barcelona. Seems all right, even though we haven't had a good track record recently with international point guards.
Or international players, for that matter. Porzingis.
Porzingis worked out. We just traded him.
A different team, yeah.
And then he became a bum.
Fair. Okay. Apparently him and Luka don't get along that much.
Yep.
Which doesn't make sense to me, but I guess. We'll do a quick break, though. We'll be right back. Overtime, rolling right along live from the Fan on Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Tennessee adding a new member to the wide receiver room. Former Mississippi State wide receiver and former Nashville prospect Javonte Payton headed to Tennessee. Payton had 28 catches for 372 yards and a touchdown during his two seasons in Starkville. Apparently, not everything was well in Starkville with Coach Mike Leach as the transfer has completed. He tweets out, I was always meant to be home. Sneeze emoji, orange emoji, hashtag Vols with some sick pictures from the locker room.
Yeah, he's from Nashville, Tennessee. He was I think he was the fourth ranked wide receiver in Tennessee when he came out in 2019. So. I mean, I think he'll be as many wide receivers as we can have, because at the pace we're going to be running, we're going to have to be rotating those guys in and out. Guys aren't going to be in for entire drives.
Yep.
So you need as much depth at wide receiver as you possibly. You need as much depth everywhere on offense as you can, because guys are going to be gassed if you don't.
Yeah, I kind of took it as kind of the similar feeling I had when we brought in Joe Milton, where it's like, that's kind of like a position of strength for us, but it's not bad to add depth there and add competition.
No, not at all. I mean, having him around, if he is even somewhat decent, will make the guys around him better. It's just competition. The more guys you have at a position, the more likely whoever wins that job is pretty good, because he's had to beat out eight other people.
Yep.
I mean, it's, you know, he averaged like 11.8 per reception at Mississippi State.
Technically,
not bad.
In two seasons,
In two seasons, he only got 19 receptions, so they weren't really utilizing him that much, so I don't know if that's an indictment on his ability.
Looking through his tweets, he's a funny dude.
I mean, that's important.
I'll read you a couple of his most recent. May 4th, literally had one class in the spring and was told I couldn't run track, laughing emoji, tough. I see all these football players going crazy, shaking my head. Was lied to by some people. Another tweet talking about Lonzo was cooking the Warriors the other night. He had 33 points, which was his career high. I hate to bring up something sad, but he had seven three-pointers and six rebounds. Javonte quote tweets and says his little brother definitely made him step up his game. Then obviously the tweet today talking about the news. He also has two more tweets 49 minutes ago. The fact some of y'all think I left because the wide receiver room was too deep, laughing emoji, and then salty 5 minutes ago. I like this guy.
He'll be a good locker room guy.
Fantastic use of emojis. Yeah. Has one in every single tweet.
You have to have an emoji in there.
I mean, quote tweeted the Jalen Waddle turn around and walking out of the room with just saying, "Maine, this is too funny," laughing emoji. I need a guy who knows how to run the social media, because we are big on the social media.
He seems like he was like a third option in their offense. The most catches he had last season was six. He had 122 yards, averaged 20.3, had a 34-yard long reception. And then it goes two, then he had five receptions, and then two every game for the rest of the season that he appeared in. So I'm interested to see what kind of athleticism he carries. I haven't got to watch any like film on him and how he looks running down the field. If he's a speedy guy, I think he'll do just fine in this offense. Like, this offense seems like it's going to be based heavily around speed and just being able to, you know, break the top off the offense. And depending on what your skill set is as a wide receiver, I think he will find you a role and find a way to make you a featured part of this offense, no matter who is in there.
Yeah. It's just a question of who's slinging the ball.
Exactly. You got to get it to them. That was our only problem last year. We had good wide receivers. It sucks whenever a guy going in the draft,
in the third round.
In the third round, and they're like, "Yeah, you know, he had terrible quarterbacks when he was in college." It's like, "Yeah, we know."
That's the main take on him, is you don't know what potential he had. The potential, the raw athleticism is there.
That's
but
there.
The main potential is...
And he had flashes.
Could have won a damn Biletnikoff if we had a quality quarterback.
Yes. Yeah.
Does that just show how good Juwan Jennings was, that he was up for the Biletnikoff that year?
Yeah. Juwan Jennings is just a mystery to me. How he was able to just will himself to success. He wasn't overtly athletic, but he was gritty as hell, and he would make a play no matter how.
It took like seven guys to tackle him on every play.
He was a freak. His talent was solely like just passion. The guy went 120% every single play. And sure, he's a D1 athlete. I'm not saying he wasn't athletic. I'm just saying he wasn't a DK Metcalf.
He just really hated Vanderbilt.
He hated everyone in the SEC. He hated anyone not wearing orange.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. He was a dog. We need some of that on this team.
Yeah, we do.
We need that on last year's team. I 100% agree.
That's
the one thing, other than like talent, coaching, stuff like that. That was one of the major things we were missing. Guys didn't care.
But who are your dogs on this team?
Who is your dogs on this team?
I'm trying to think of the veteran leadership that you may have. As far as I can go right now.
I mean, last year, like, if you asked me this question last season, it's Trey Smith, and that's probably where the list, like...
Ends.
Stops.
Like, when it comes to true leadership, it was Trey Smith. Now Trey Smith's gone. I guess maybe leaders will get found out this year. It's a new batch of leaders.
Maybe Alante.
Alante
Taylor on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, probably
And then you're
Alante.
Bringing in Juwan Mitchell, which hopefully he steps up as a leader.
Velus Jones in his redshirt senior year step up and do a couple things on the offensive end, get set a pace and get it going.
He could be the leader of that wide receiver room for sure.
I mean, when you look back at some of the guys who have been highly touted as return men, such as Velus Jones has, of like Dexter McCluster, and I just combined like five people's names, but you know the type of players I'm talking about, just return guys. If you have a good return, that sets up and really opens the door for everything else. So if you can get the energy started early, he could be a guy like that.
I think Velus Jones can be he's going to be a good wide receiver for us, though, this year, too.
100%
agree. He's got talent running routes and catching the football.
Oh, 100% agree. I was just pointing out
when
you have a good return, like the Super Bowl with the Bears, obviously ended up losing it, but that's like one of the most iconic plays of all time. Yeah. Just like it sets the tone
quickly. It's the only time that's ever happened.
And if we need to be fast, we need to be more offensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a guy who can set a tone quickly for us. I'm looking through the roster right now, but I'm not seeing a ton of names that jump out to me.
Cedric Tillman's been there a good while. He might be able to, one of those guys who steps up. He's a great wide receiver. He's a guy I'm looking forward to getting utilized a little more. He's had some fantastic flashes
in his time here. Junkyard dog Elijah Simmons on the D-line opens up with his redshirt sophomore year.
Yeah, that would be a guy that I could see becoming a leader on this team.
One of the Mays brothers. Do we still have Cade Mays? I'm looking at this roster. I saw one of them, but I can't.
Yeah, we got both the Mays.
Both Mays brothers still? That's what I thought. I didn't want to misspeak.
It's really bad how, like, I'm scrolling down this roster looking as well, and I don't know how updated this is. So, like, I'm seeing names, and there's a few that I'm like,
Are you looking at ESPN's?
I'm looking at UT's.
Okay. That's what I'm on, too. I went to ESPN first, and it was not updated, so I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. I would think this is updated, but I almost asked if they were still here because so many people transferred out that I don't really know who did and who didn't. We still have Theo Jackson, right? He's still running safety
believe
for us?
Believe so. You can maybe see Princeton Fant, redshirt senior out of Nashville, step up at the tight end position this year. You also have Jarrell Middleton and Aubrey Solomon, two seniors on the D-line as well, who I'm looking forward to step up. Running back, I'm a little nervous about, but I think we have a good batch of running backs. It's just who's going to win that top job is what concerns me right now. I do think we see Jalen Hyatt come into his own this year. But we're just going down a roster and saying what's going to happen. We have no idea.
He's shown that he's probably the most athletic person on the team.
But isn't this a concern? We're looking at a roster of, 53, 52 people? I did the math wrong, but we can't come up with like one guy for sure that we can say with certainty will be a leader this year. Like, that concerns me a little bit. Now, obviously, it's a new regime, new culture. You got to find someone to be that new leader.
I mean,
but it does make me a little nervous that I can't stare at this list and go, yeah, that is either our best player or the number one guy, the alpha dog, something like that, who's going to go out there and do the coin toss and all these things. You know what I mean?
There are a lot of names in here that it's really just dependent on their personality, but they have like the resume to be a leader. Like, you know, there's guys, if you're a freshman, I mean, technically you can if you're really good and, you know, you can win people
like
over. But it's harder for someone like that to come in and be a leader and try to be vocal and, you know, get on guys. But, like, you know, we've got seniors who have been here for a long time that are going to be starters, that have played for a while, they've been through a lot. Like, these guys can step up. Like you said, Cade Mays I think Cade Mays will be the leader on that offensive line, and he's going to have to be. Him and his brother are going to have to kind of be a big force on the offensive line this year. I believe in this team, like, culturally. Like, I don't think we're going to have any issues with, effort or anything like under this regime, just because of the style and brand of football we're going
to
be playing.
I like to think that, but I just I can't know for certain until I see it. You know what I mean? I have a little optimism there, but my whole entire life being kind of bad football culture and not a lot going on, it does make me nervous to have blind optimism, I guess.
Right.
I guess blind optimism is what you're supposed to have going into a new regime, though.
And it's not blind optimism, I wouldn't say. It's more like, and I'm not saying it's fixed, but it certainly feels better now, culturally, with around the team, the attitude of the players and the coaches and stuff like that, than it did just a year ago under Pruitt. Like, there's a a tangible difference that you can kind of feel when you're looking at these guys.
I guess, but in my opinion, and just from my own personal experience.
And this has nothing to do with talent or wins and losses. This is not what I'm talking about.
But from my personal experience, I felt the same way with, and obviously I was like 8 when Butch Jones got hired. I don't remember the exact, Butch Jones had a good culture. But like, I remember feeling the exact same feeling when Butch got here. Mm-hmm. I remember having the exact same feeling once we got rid of Schiano and got Pruitt in. I felt like we had won something, and it still just hasn't shown itself yet, and so right. I do hesitate to get overly excited, but I do agree the culture seems like it's shifting. You just got to continue that momentum to where it's going.
Yeah, when Butch Jones first got here, like, the culture was different. Like, it did look, you know, hopeful. People were buying in. People were very excited back in those first few years. I mean, after 2016, it was over. Like, he blew it, and everybody knew he was a fraud. But those first couple of years when he was on the brick by brick and, you know, all that stuff, like, people were bought in and the culture was pretty good in the attitudes and the moods around the players. He just couldn't coach football. Like, we need Heupel to be able to do both. He's doing pretty well in the transfer market. Maybe he can recruit. Maybe that's something that we'll be, you know, a little wrong on in
the future. They did have 6 guys get drafted from UCF, so that's always a good sign. We'll be right back, though. We got something planned. I don't know what yet, but no trivia, but some sort of fun thing going on. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Overtime, Phantom Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Phantom Radio studios. Alex just having too much fun back there. Wow. It's time for some debating. Time for some debating. I went over the questions. Some animal heavy, but a good distribution of them all.
Right.
You said you wanted to start with I got one.
Sure.
First question.
It goes right at my heart. You know, like what I value most in life. I'm a big fan of this stuff.
Fair enough.
I think. If you throw a curveball now that I've said that and ask something weird, I'm going to get real mad. You can't just, like, throw out a wild card now that I've already said that's what my life is about.
Just bring a really sexist question.
Yeah, like, that would, like, that just wouldn't be cool. Okay.
What's one food that is one of your favorite foods? It can't be broccoli. It can't be something you don't like already. You can lie to me, and I won't, like, believe you or, like, question you. So if you lie, you lie. But what's one food that you like that you're willing to get rid of your repertoire?
Repertoire.
That.
For what? Like, what is the?
What's the benefit?
Yeah. Like, what? Why? You know.
What's it worth to me?
You can either
never eat it again.
You can grow 3 inches.
Grow 3 inches?
Grow a foot. Or never eat this food
in Tucker's case.
Yeah. No. Okay, guys. For the people listening, I'm not actually 5'3".
3 inches is a lot more than you think.
Basically.
I'm 6 foot tall, but okay. But so be 7 foot tall. That actually would open some doors in life.
You'd have to duck under him, but it would open some doors.
I could go play in Europe.
Yeah.
And like not like big league Europe, but
bro,
like,
I would be 7'2".
Like minor league Europe, make like $20 an hour playing basketball.
I would be the next Kevin Durant. I'm getting rid of pizza.
You would be, yeah, but you gain the weight because you would be an abomination stretched out to 7'2".
If you think the wind is scary now, just wait until I'm 7'2" and 115.
That would be terrifying.
Pounds.
Like, I don't think I might run from you. If you're 7'2",
it's like that 2K glitch.
Oh, God.
The giant man. But what food would you...
So something that, like, I like that I wouldn't feel...
My favorite food's pizza, but I would be willing to give it up.
See, the first thing that popped in my head was steak. But steak is like a top one for me. Like a good steak dinner.
Careful. Like Biden wants to take your steaks away from you. Once a month.
Me and Biden...
Once a month.
Me and Biden can meet at the Space Needle if it comes down to steaks. We'll duke it out. But I'm thinking like hot dogs. I can never eat a hot dog again.
Dude, I was thinking that too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Like, it's a good food, and I love like a grilled hot dog, some chili, mustard, a little bit of onion. But if I had to never eat one again, I could just eat a burger. you know?
Exactly.
Those are still at the cookout.
But I don't know. Going to a ball game.
God, Smoky
so
Dog.
Tempting, yeah.
Ooh, that is tough.
Do brats count as hot dogs in this case?
Yes. Yeah, that's a hot dog.
Just any cylinder meats?
I guess so. Anything, like anything you would eat like a hot dog. Tacos are still in play. Tacos are different. They're
an
offshoot.
What if you just chop up the hot dog and put it on a non-tortilla shell? It's...
God, that would be awful. For some reason, like it's really like it is. The tortilla is very different from regular bread, but at a base level, it's not that different. But that would be disgusting.
Well, one's made from corn, one's made from wheat.
I was just thinking, like, what's a fruit that you wouldn't give up?
I don't like.
You don't like fruit at all.
It's a texture thing.
Like I was trying to think.
Bananas, I guess.
Yeah.
Like bananas are the only fruit I really eat on the rag.
I freaking love bananas. I couldn't give up bananas. But I was thinking.
Wait, you said a texture thing and bananas is your favorite?
True. They're very mushy. They are very mushy.
They're slimy. Like what?
I love bananas, but.
That's the biggest fruit that people have a complaint with.
That is true.
I disagree. I don't like strawberries because the seedy outside rubs against my tongue and weirds me out. I don't like cherries.
I just don't like the taste of strawberries.
See, I love the taste of strawberries.
I'm not a big strawberry guy. But I was thinking, real quick, I was like, you know, what's one I could eat? And then for some reason, my brain spat out watermelon, and I was like, oh, hell no. If I had to give up watermelon, I would be heartbroken.
I don't like watermelon either.
What? It is the best fruit. Dude, like a hot summer day.
You eating it, though. That's the only thing. Like,
use a fork?
It's like eating fruity tobacco. Like, you have to spit the whole entire time. I don't enjoy that.
They make seedless watermelon. You just eat it. Will, you've never heard of a seed. I mean, I don't think they're like.
If you could get one superpower, just move on from the fact that I don't know what. I didn't know that there were seedless watermelon.
Yeah, there's seedless watermelon. They got little, like, white seeds in them, but like.
Science has come so far, man.
Dude, those have been around forever. Like, as long as I can remember eating watermelon.
Really?
Yeah.
My whole life, I always.
Yeah, you go seedless every time.
I always.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the people at like the house I stayed at bought seeded watermelon on purpose because they knew I wouldn't like it.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that like seeded watermelon is better. Like, it's.
You have to change the genetic makeup of the plant, so it's probably not as flavorful.
It's still pretty good.
Still banging. Still bussing.
It still slaps.
If you could get one superpower, what would it be? But gaining a superpower would mean you would never be able to read again. You lose your ability to read, and you
forever.
Can't. You lose your ability to read, and you can't learn how to read. Or we'll change it. You can't do math or speak or something.
Do math? I'm taking the superpower every
math
time.
In a minute.
In a heart
in a minute.
I avoid math in everyday life.
I don't think
life.
You guys realize how much you use math on
like
a daily basis.
Like simple math? Like I don't know
like
2 plus 2?
Just telling time and realizing how much time you have to leave for work or something like that is math. Like, you use math every... I think you use
I
math...
I feel like you get away with... You'd get away with not using math a lot better than you would
but
not reading.
I feel like you could be able to get away with a lot more things if you had the excuse, I can't read. Like, just, like, not paying attention to signs, doing things like that. Like, sorry, I can't read.
Yeah, but, ignorance isn't a defense.
Ignorance is bliss.
In outside of legal terms, sure. But, like, you know how annoying
it would
be? I'm
not saying, like, carry a gun in a gun-free zone, but, like, no trespassing. Okay, cool.
Like, you would forever have to be the guy at the restaurant that's like, I want that one. And then having to point at the picture. You can't order anything without a picture because you don't know what it means. Or you go on a first date and you're like, hey, can you read the menu to me? I can't read. Like,
I think you just got to go to the same restaurant every time.
And you got to, yeah.
Know what you like. What's the one superpower you would be
willing? Do you retain your memory? From like,
sure,
like, so like, I go to a restaurant, I can just be like, hey, just bring me like the chicken Alfredo.
Sure,
like, I know you got it.
Sure,
don't even show me the menu,
but
I can't read it.
What the main question here is, what's one superpower you would be willing to give your ability to read up for?
Time travel
is that a superpower? Does that count?
Dr. Strange, bro.
Ant-Man did it. Yeah. Spoiler alert,
is it not like a never mind. Okay. Flying's a real thing, too. I was gonna say,
flying's
is time traveling
for sure.
Like not a real
flying, big overrated.
Flying would be pretty neat, though. If you could go, like, really fast. I mean, if I could only go, like, 20 miles an hour.
I'd take super strength.
That's a better question.
That'd be a bummer.
You get super strength, but you can only, like, you're not super strong. You're just, like, the world's strongest man. You can fly, but you can only fly, like, 20 miles per hour and only, like, 15 feet above the ground. You can't fly. You can levitate.
I feel like that'd be problematic.
Like, neutered.
15 feet above the ground?
Like, neutered superpowers.
How am I going to get through New York?
You're only going 20 miles an hour. Yeah. You can dodge those buildings pretty easy. You're literally just, it's slower than driving at that point.
Yeah, but you're
faster
flying.
Than walking.
You're flying.
It beats walking. Yeah,
getting across the English Channel would be a real pain.
Yeah, or yeah, like say you know Superman can go from like New York to.
How often are you going over the English Channel, my guy?
If he's
you
super,
check out Europe if I'm flying, bro. First,
like if you told me right now, if I magically knew how to fly mid-show, I probably wouldn't even use the door. I'll just.
Where's the first place you go?
I would fly straight up as high as I could. That'd be
you
the
can
first.
Can only go
move.
15 feet in the air.
With the.
I'm kidding. Okay, I'm kidding. Where was the if you could fly, where's the first place you go?
Still 15 feet is a big way up for Tucker.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. That's like 10 times my height. So, but I don't know. I'd probably just fly like directly. I would fly east and just go around the world. How fast am I? Like, I'm like
what's
Superman
the
now?
But what's the first place you're
going?
I guess
like Rome, probably.
Is there not like what? I guess it's what's your like dream vacation destination?
Probably Rome.
Rome?
Yeah. Just hit up Italy.
Just get pickpocketed everywhere?
Pretty cool. I'm flying. I'm in the air. I don't care. They can't pickpocket. If they pickpocket me up in the air, they earned it. It's theirs. Good luck, though.
Just a really long pole.
My super like suit doesn't have pockets.
The pole with the grabbers on the end that people use to get coats and stuff off
racks. No, it's
one
of those things with alligator mouths that you pull the trigger and it bites. That's what they're trying to pickpocket me.
That's fair enough. I think I'd go pyramids.
Ooh, that's a cool one.
I think I'd go pyramids. Yeah. Land on the tip.
Yep,
that'd be pretty sick.
Sit on the Sphinx. Yeah. Oh. Great Wall of China would be neat.
I guess. It's just a wall.
Yeah.
I never was a big Great Wall of China fan.
No.
You have to see it in person to really love it, I think.
The Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
From the sky, I bet it looks pretty cool. Bet it looks pretty big.
It's just a giant crack
it's
in
big.
The
It's big. It's a big canyon. It's grand, even.
What's the other... What's the Aztecian temples? I don't... You know, there's a name for one.
Machu Picchu?
Yeah.
Boom.
Machu Picchu.
Boom.
Taj Mahal. That's it. Wouldn't be a bad place to go see.
Leaning Tower of Pisa, go push it back straight.
We'll be right back. Overtime, hour two, getting right underway. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Alex Comas. I did so well. I did so well.
I miss him.
Shout out to the man having fun, living life. From one John Fulgerson to the next, though, we talk about Tennessee basketball. Got a bunch of basketball articles pulled up. I got the 2021 final rankings. I guess not final rankings, but like they come out with like their end of the beginning of the offseason, I guess, preseason rankings or whatever for recruiting. So I have the 2021 recruiting rankings right now pulled up. I got each of Tennessee's basketball recruits. 247 did a little article on each of them with some comments from Rick Barnes. And I also have a basketball article talking about each team in the SEC's biggest need for rosters. And so I got Tennessee's pulled up there, too. Where would y'all like to start? You want to start with biggest needs, start with player profiles, or just recruiting in general?
Probably biggest need.
Biggest need? Can you go ahead and guess what the biggest need is? I feel like we can all...
A big man.
Fairly
for us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A center.
Yeah.
Like a dominant big man.
Y'all are right on the money.
Would be the cherry.
They're a little different with the way they word it because it is college basketball after all. Forward depth, which is big man.
Right,
forward
sure.
depth. You don't really have a true center in college
nice
basketball a lot of times. It would be really, really nice to have one. But forward depth is what they have. The Volunteers will lose a few key pieces off last season's NCAA tournament caliber team, but have reloaded. Partially combined with returns and incoming talent, recruits and transfers, Tennessee will once again be around the top of the SEC. Tennessee also got a massive bump to their 2021-2022 roster when forward John Fulgerson came back, but the Volunteers struggled to replace Fulgerson late last season when the senior went down with an injury. So adding experience to the front court is what it's referred to.
Yes,
would be huge. It's basically things we already know, but. Interesting to see another person's perspective looking at it. When talking about the recruits we're bringing in, though, Tennessee right now. Alex, have you seen this? Tucker, have you seen this?
I think I've seen it.
Number two in the nation in recruiting right behind Michigan,
nice.
Who has just one more commit than us. Michigan has 2 5-stars, 3 4-stars, and 1 3-star. Tennessee with 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, and 1 3-star. Duke right below us. At number three, Florida State, number four, Gonzaga at number 5, Kansas at number 6, Alabama at number 7, Colorado rising to the top at number 8 in recruiting this year. Number 9 is Michigan State, and number 10 is Baylor. Talking about these recruits we're getting that has landed us the number 2 recruiting class, we obviously start with the number 1 guy, mm-hmm. Kennedy Chandler. The recruiting recap from 247, he is the number 8th prospect in the nation, according to them, the number 2 point guard. Chandler was a longtime number 1 prospect on the board in the 2021 class, and it paid off for the Vols, with the elite point guard committing to Tennessee in August and signing in November. He capped a decorated prep career with a standout senior season at Sunrise Christian in Kansas. Rick Barnes on Kennedy Chandler said, "Kennedy was one of our primary targets for a long time to us. His elite speed, athleticism, defense, and basketball IQ separated him from every other point guard in America. But it was his character, work ethic, and toughness that made him really the perfect fit for our program. We're really excited to have Kennedy and his family join us on the Tennessee basketball team next year."
Kennedy Chandler is, if his ranking or, like, you know, his score continues to go up, he could be the highest rated recruit Tennessee has ever gotten.
He's right now a .995. Right now the record is tied with Scottie Hopson's and Tobias Harris, I believe, for a .978.
Right now Kennedy Chandler on 247 is a .997.
He is a 997?
He's a .9970. Scottie Hopson and Harris are .9978.
Fair enough.
I mean, it is very, the very tiniest close margin between them.
The scouting report on him is he a downhill attacking point guard with terrific speed and mature game management skills, an excellent passer matching his court vision and his creative off the bounce with his playmaking ability. Whether in transition or the half court, he reads the floor very well, and more times than not, he will make the correct decision with the ball in his hands. This is exactly what we've been talking about, a true point guard. We've had guys run the point who are not necessarily the truest of point guards, maybe would fit better in a shooting guard role, like a Vescovi, like a Victor Bailey Jr., like a Keon, like a Jaden. So to get a true point guard coming in, and this being the biggest thing, his basketball IQ, his court vision, the ability to basically make other people better around him, true floor general,
yes,
is how he is described. Makes me happy.
I'm very, very excited to see him in the orange and white.
The other 5-star we have in the fold is Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the number 20 prospect in America, .9933.
The 6th best recruit UT has ever gotten.
7th power forward, number 1 Pennsylvanian in this area. Rick Barnes comments on him: "We're all really excited about Brandon's decision to stay in state and develop as a Vol. He's a highly skilled forward who is a terrific passer and has the ability to stretch the defense with his shooting. It's clear he's all about doing whatever it takes to help his team win. We are all looking forward to putting in the work with him to help him reach his full potential." Scouting report on Huntley Hatfield: He has a quintessential power forward body with length, strength, and density. I like how they throw density in there. It's a fun scientific word.
It is.
It just means he's thick.
He's hard to move.
Yeah. He's a power-based athlete, high-level body control for a player his size, can score from all 3 levels, very comfortable with the ball. A point forward, if you will, is what it seems like they're talking about here. Can get to the basket efficiently, loves to go left as a righty, and has the ability to dominate the area as a rebounder. Improving as a defender is a proper area of focus, however. So a very athletic guy, so some raw athleticism there. But, normally what's happened is we've been taking on raw athletic guys like a Pons or someone who's a defensive-breeded player who's that athletic and trying to make them have an offensive game. Maybe this will work out where we take an offensive physical force and see if we can develop his defensive game.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you already have the necessary means to play defense, like to be a good defender, and you just got to get the technique and, you know, the actual just
the IQ, seeing rotations, different things like that. Being in the right position is not only just kind of being coached to be in the right position and rotating on defense, but you also have to have a high IQ on both sides of the basketball. Mm-hmm. That's why some point guards normally lead leagues in steals, because they know what the passing lanes are, because they are so good at passing.
Yes.
They get in the way. They disrupt those. As an offensive player, it's normally easier to transition and make your defensive game a little bit better.
It's a lot easier to develop as a defender than it is to develop as an offensive
player. Especially when you have physical tools already. It would be different if this was a Steve Nash or a Mike Bibby type guy who's just a very good passer and shooter but doesn't have the physical ability to be a good defender. Mm-hmm. He has the physical ability. It's all about just tapping that potential. Makes me excited. It makes me really excited.
I'm really excited about this basketball team, man.
We also have four-star center Jonas Aidoo. Jonas Aidoo, I believe I'm pronouncing that correct. Rick Barnes comments on him. Jonas comes from a wonderful support system led by his mother, Regina. He's a high-character young man and will fit our program well in that respect. I love that he is hungry to develop both as a player and a person. He has set an extremely high standard for himself. He's a versatile player with a high basketball IQ, and he's going to be fun to coach. Kind of going off of, I mean, it had the biggest roster needs we need, and you land a prototypical body type four with a very high-level offensive game and a 6'11", 215 center who's a four-star following Justin Gainey. He committed to Marquette, follows him over here to Tennessee. I mean, you needed some forward, some big man depth, and it seems like you go and get those with these two guys right here.
I can't wait for basketball season, man.
You already excited?
Yeah, I really am.
Tucker, which are you more excited for, football or basketball?
Basketball. Basketball. We're actually going to be successful in basketball, I believe. Like, we have a much better shot. We're going to the tournament next year.
Okay.
I'm holding out hope that we might have a bowl game next year.
So you're judging off of levels of success?
For sure. I mean,
because you keep telling us how you're excited for football.
I am. I'm extremely
excited. I'm a football guy, I promise.
We might have a high-scoring offense mm-hmm. for the first time in a very long time.
Yep.
And the schedule's pretty easy.
Yep.
So it's not like... barring another, Tennessee disaster, we should have enough wins to qualify for a bowl.
I don't know if you can bar Tennessee disasters though, like 20 straight disastrous seasons.
If you go 6-6, like even then it's kind of disappointing, but at the same time you're like, okay, that's fine. I think getting anything below 5 wins is disappointment.
Yeah. I mean, I would be crushed if I'll be pretty bummed at 5 wins.
Would you be happy with 6, though?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But it still doesn't measure up to an NCAA tournament appearance to where maybe we get knocked out second round or Sweet 16.
It would not measure up. I would see that as a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be angry at Josh Heupel. I'd be like, okay, one of those, just a subtle nod. Like, all right, 6 wins, but let's see something next year. Like, that's really would be my thoughts. If that were to happen, the thing is, the reason I'm excited about this football team, regardless of any outcome, wins and losses, there's intrigue there. Like, there's guys that are going to be new faces, guys making plays that we haven't seen before. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We have a new coach. Like, all that's new. That's fun to watch. You're going to be learning stuff throughout the season about this team and about this coaching staff. The basketball team has that same appeal, not with coaching, but with new guys. I mean, we're going to have almost a new. We have 3 new guys that are instantly going to come in and make major moves and be important pieces of this team, along with the fact that they're probably going to be successful. It has both. It's the best of both worlds. I want to watch a team that I've not seen before. I'm going to learn about them, and I'm going to watch them try to go make a run in the tournament. They probably won't, but it'll be fun. I'm excited. It's a long ways away. But
fair enough.
I can't wait.
A Sweet 16 run, are you satisfied with this team?
Satisfied? No. Angry? No. Just okay. Like, that's probably baseline,
Good point.
I mean, I wouldn't freak out over around a 32 exit. Like, I wouldn't be horrible.
Everything is dependent on what happens. Like, even football, I would be fine with 5, maybe 4 wins if it showed progress and there was a couple of games that maybe we got screwed in. Like, Ole Miss last year didn't win a ton of games, but there was like 3 games they should have won. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it that way, that obviously, barring all disastrous scenarios, you can have a positive takeaway from 4 wins, and you can also have a negative takeaway if we get 6 or 7 wins if it didn't show a lot or we got lucky with a couple of them. Same thing with college basketball. I mean, if you just draw a bad draw in the round of 32, I can be satisfied with that. But as it stands right now, it's Sweet 16 or bust, in my opinion, for basketball, and it's 6 wins or bust, in my opinion, for football. Obviously, scenarios can change, and you can have a different take in spin zone and orange color glasses and all that jazz. But as it stands right now, baseline, I would say Sweet 16 and 6 wins.
Yeah. Agreed.
looking around the recruiting for the rest of the SEC, Tennessee obviously number two in the nation would mean number one in the SEC in basketball recruiting. Average ranking for players, 96.69, 69.15 points of recruiting. Alabama, number two. They have only three commits, but their average player ranking is a 98.34. Very impressive right there from Alabama, landing the top point guard in the nation in J.D. Davidson, I believe is his name.
Okay.
Alabama's rising. Alabama is on the rise. It's going to be scary to try to have to be dominated by them in two sports.
They also got, like, the best transfer portal guy in Namari Burnett.
That is a good pull. That is a good pull.
Nate Oates is building a nice little program down there.
Did you see where Kentucky, who is ranked 30th nationally and 6th in the SEC, are in the talks or at least looking to be adding Frederick from Iowa? Does that make you nervous at all? He's a solid shooter, and that was their struggle last season. You think that he would be able to have success at Kentucky? What are we feeling about Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, picking him up as well as the guy from Davidson would be two good additions for them.
As well as Oscar Shibway from West Virginia, a big man.
Yeah, a big man there.
Four-star prospect out of high school.
Yeah, look, those are good additions. I think those are good pieces to add around guys. But, I mean, you're going to be losing a guy in B.J. Boston who's going to go in the first round of the NBA draft and who was supposed to be kind of that stud guy. And I didn't think he lived up to that potential really too much at Kentucky. He had some games where he broke out, but other ones he kind of just disappeared and faded away.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, and then at point guard, they lost Devin Askew, who I thought was a pretty good guard for them. And then the other day, we saw Davion Mintz, who was their only good shooter, the guy who could not miss from three against Tennessee at TBA. He declared for the draft. So you're losing, you know, three key pieces from your team last year, and you're bringing in these, you know, three guys and potentially four. That would be, you know, good for you, but at the same time, you're still missing like that stud guy who's going to lead the team.
And that's normally, I don't want to say what they've relied on, because they've had solid prospects across the board, five stars everywhere. But you usually have that number one dude, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You had Tyler Ulis was there for a minute. Jamal Murray was there for a minute as that number one dude. Malik Monk as well.
Ulis wasn't the number one dude.
He was on that team
with Booker, right?
But he was there. He was the dude the next year, right? The year after they won the championship, he was their number one dude, I believe.
But if I'm remembering correctly, like in this class, they haven't gotten that like top 10 dude.
No, looking at their rankings right now, I had Florida pulled up because I want to make fun of Florida here in a second. They have one five-star prospect, a power forward. He is he's the fourth power forward, 10th national ranked player. So technically their only top 10 player.
On the top 10.
And then you also have the 30th ranked prospect in Bryce Hopkins, also a power forward. So two power forwards, but I mean,
interesting.
Guard play was the struggle last season, and it doesn't seem like they're adding a lot of capable guards. But I do want to take a quick minute to make fun of Florida, because I'm going to go through the rest of these recruiting rankings, and Florida is at the very bottom. Alabama, obviously, number two. A&M sneaking up. They're number three in the nation in recruiting, in the SEC right now for recruiting. LSU, number four. Number five is Ole Miss. Mississippi State is number seven, because we talked about Kentucky being number six. South Carolina, number eight. Missouri, number nine. Arkansas, down there at number 10, but they are living on the transfer portal. Georgia at 11. Vandy at 12. Auburn at 13. And Florida, all the way down at the bottom at 14th. Both Auburn and Florida only have one commitment so far, but Auburn's is a five-star. Florida's is a four-star prospect. Adding a few players in the transfer portal, Boston College player, Charleston Southern, Penn State, and a Kansas City State as well. But what do we make of Florida? Only recruit so far is a four-star, 36 ranked nationally, but a shooting guard, ninth shooting guard in the nation. Mike White finally on the hot seat. Is Danny White going to get the best of his brother this season, I feel like? But also, what does Mike White do from here? How do you rebuild this team? Obviously, you have Johnson coming back, who was the preseason All-SEC, All-American, and had the very tragic accident. So coming back, you do have one guy returning, but it wasn't an overly impressive team. And with the fleet of people leaving your roster, you have to be a little bit nervous for Mike White and those Gators.
Yeah, I don't know if he survives next season.
Their recruiting drops 35 spots from 41 last year to 76 nationally this year, and drops 4 spots in the SEC from 10th last year to 14th this year.
I don't know if he's expecting to get a lot of transfers in. Like, have they gotten any transfers?
They have 4 transfers in. They have C.J. Felder from Boston College, a power forward. Flan Fleming from Charleston Southern. Myron Jones from Penn State. And Brandon McKisson from Kansas City State.
I know Myron Jones from Penn State. That's a decent addition, but...
What about Flan Fleming?
No idea.
I just like saying that name. That's going to be a fun name
to say for a while.
That's a good one.
You said from Coastal Carolina?
No, it's Charleston Southern.
Charleston Southern.
Doesn't he have a picture, and he was an unranked prospect?
Because I know there's a guy out of Coastal Carolina who's like the leading scorer in their conference. I forgot what conference they're in. But he's fielding a lot of offers from...
Sunbelt, I believe.
Division I programs.
I don't think it's the Sunbelt now that I say
that's
that.
That's not him.
No. It's still concerning. Auburn also down there towards the bottom. Obviously, they have the 5-star, and they did land Walker Kessler. So I think this is a little bit of misinterpretation. They do also land today former 3-star Arkansas prospect, played last year, Desi Sills, shooting guard, committed to Auburn as the transfer. But Walker Kessler, the 5-star center, and they also got Jabari Smith, the 5-star power forward. It's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out in the SEC based off of all these recruiting things. But Tennessee fans should be, and rightfully so, are feeling good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't say it enough. Can't say it enough.
Yep,
it's fair.
Do you guys pay much attention to hockey?
No.
No, but you guys know about the little thing going on where that dude, you know, attacked a guy.
Yeah, happening against my Rangers, man.
Yes. Did you see what happened about 8 minutes ago between those two teams?
Did they just drop gloves and fight?
Open up for the fight?
Right at the drop of the puck.
Good.
The 3 fights broke out.
That's what happened.
They dropped the puck to start the game and...
2015.
Instant fight. No one even went for the puck.
2015, the Rangers and the Devils squared off after an altercation like that with Tom Wilson happened in 2015. Same thing happened. Puck dropped, and both lines just went straight at it, 3 straight, yep. 3 fights. So good to see right there.
The penalty boxes are full at the very start of the game. I mean, in the Capitals penalty box, there was 1, 2, 3, I think 5 guys. So I don't know.
Burger joint up in the
I don't know what the
box.
Rules are there. You can't sub, right? Because like they're just in there. You don't have a player for that time.
I don't know how hockey rules.
It's a power play. It's 5-on-4 or 4. You know,
5-on-3, 3-on-2.
It can be 4-on-4, 3-on. Yeah, whatever. Are
how did you feel about Tom Wilson in general with the punch to the back of the head, the slamming of a player, the fight that boiled over into just a $5K fine, which is crazy. That's the maximum amount of money they can fine somebody.
Yeah.
I think that's the main takeaway is what the hell is the NHLPA or whatever they call their players association and stuff like that doing with the way they set it up to where no suspension and only a $5K fine is the most you can get. But also it's interesting to just in general of Tom Wilson, scumbag, known for it.
Yeah.
When does this stop?
Yeah, I mean, they're already fighting again, I believe. Tom Wilson is fighting again.
Will you hand me the remote?
Yeah, I can.
I want to see if I can find that game.
Yeah, they're just fighting. Tom Wilson just sought someone out, and now he's punched him in the face. This was 1 minute ago.
It's on NBC Sports. We'll
appreciate it. We'll hit a quick break while I get that pulled up. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this. Hour 2 of Overtime rolling right along. Live from the Fandom Radio Studios, it's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Going up until 8 p.m. as always. Fellas, did you see the report from yesterday? DK Metcalf will run in the 100-meter dash at the USATF Golden Games and Distance Open on Sunday.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
He would reportedly need to break 10.2 seconds to qualify for Olympic trials.
Ooh.
Now, the question asks, A, do you think DK has a shot at making the Olympics trials?
I think he has a shot at making the trials, yeah. I think he can run a 100-meter dash in our 10 seconds.
10.2?
Yeah, I think he can.
My next question is, how fast do you think you could run a 100-meter dash?
25 seconds.
Fair enough. Alex?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't have a... like 100 meters, like I get that. It's a sprint race. It's the shortest race.
It's one side of the track.
Yeah, okay.
It's just one side of a track.
Yeah, it's just the back stretch.
The curve is, I believe, I want to say 50, and then it's another 100, and then it's 50 again, which makes it a 200 loop.
No, 400 loop.
400 loop. Okay, yeah. Then 100 is the curve. My bad. I did the math wrong.
Yeah.
my thing is on this is, you know, we saw with, I think yesterday the news came out about Juwan James, former Tennessee offensive lineman, who ends up tearing his Achilles working out off-site.
Yeah.
And now he's in danger of his contract being voided.
Which Patrick Mahomes and a bunch of other athletes have voiced their disapproval of the Broncos not paying him. Or at least Patrick Mahomes had a quote of, "I don't understand how they cannot pay him."
Yeah, I don't think they've made a decision yet on it.
I think you should. Yeah. I mean, unless he was doing something just stupid, like a workout that if he tried to do in the facility, you would have said, "Hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's stupid." If he was just doing a normal
workout,
if he was doing, you know, some weird medicine ball training or something like that, where he's standing on a medicine ball with weights.
Derrick Henry workouts?
Yeah, if he's doing or Alvin Kamara when he was running down the street, he was doing something weird.
He's pulling cars and stuff?
That. If you're doing stuff like that and you hurt yourself, okay, I can see an argument there. But if you're doing standard training stuff and it's just a...
You would have gotten injured wherever you were?
Yeah, it shouldn't matter.
I agree, but what were you saying about talking? DK could have that risk.
Yeah, he's not going to have his contract voided because he's what would be in the second year of his contract.
He's also a superstar.
Third year?
He's cracking that top.
He's also very good.
No offense to Juwan James, former Vol, but
But still, when you're that good at football, like why are you risking it and doing this? Like you can blow out.
You're fast, man.
When you could blow out your hammy or whatever, do something to your, you know, leg muscles that could maybe hamper your start to the season.
Sure. But also, training for like a sprint, stuff like that, it gets you working on your fundamentals and how you run, your gait.
First step.
That first step explosiveness. It could make him faster on the football field. Like, you could look at it as a form of training.
Yeah.
If he's working with a running
coach, like a faster DK Metcalf?
Scary.
Pretty scary. Yeah. I mean, when he ran down that interception...
Yeah, when he hawked down a Buda Baker.
I mean, insane.
I think we need an NFL Olympics or like a professional athletes Olympics. Because no offense to the Olympic athletes.
I mean, it's the combine, but I would like current.
Yeah.
Like do it about every 2 years, 2-3 years.
No one cares about the Pro Bowl obstacle course or the kicking challenge. Give us
run 40s.
Yeah.
Run some 40s.
Give us shot putt and stuff like that. Like I think that would be entertaining. No offense to the Olympic athletes. You put all that effort in, and I pretend I'm a patriot for that 1 month. Like
100%.
The pole vault determines my patriotism. What?
Did you say shot putt?
Yeah.
Shot putt.
Yeah, I was going to just roll right past that. I was going to try to be nice.
Is it not two T's?
Nope.
Shot putt. You hold it like
all right, I'm out on the Olympics.
You got to push it.
Next thing I know, it's not javelin.
It is javelin.
It is javelin? Okay. Then Yeah.
I would love to try and throw a javelin. I would need there to be like 100 yards.
The largest
kebab. There would need to be 100 yards in every direction just in case I don't like shank one into the crowd and stab someone.
What's the Will Ferrell movie where he
that happens
in
the movie.
I think it's Kicking and Screaming.
It might be.
Almost positive.
I've not seen that.
What?
Did someone get hit with a javelin? Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
he like throws a shot putt into someone's windshield, and that's how he meets his wife.
That I don't know.
Hold on.
I don't think that's Kicking and Screaming.
Is that the other guy's?
I'm not recollecting that one.
Is that how he met his...
Kicking and Screaming, I know.
Is that how he met his incredibly attractive wife that he's really mean to?
The
other guys?
No, hold on.
Eva Mendes?
The whole time Mark Wahlberg is like, okay, no, but like, that's your wife? And he's just, he only says goodbye to her.
Bye, Julie!
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Kicking and Screaming.
Okay.
It is Kicking and Screaming.
But
I don't remember that at all, the shot put.
He's spinning it on he has the chain one, and he's spinning it. He's in a headband, short shorts, and a
chain
top.
That's the hammer throw.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know the exact definition of what
the
type
shot
of
put is
fake
just
shot put Will Ferrell
will get it right.
A sphere. Yeah. I think that's called the hammer throw or something like that. You lean back, you spin as fast as
you can. What NFL athlete would you most want to see participate in an Olympic sport, and which Olympic sport would you want them to participate in? My vote is... Oh, never mind. I don't even know if it's an NFL athlete. I think I want to go the Mr. Freeze from the Braves games in a speed skating competition.
And speed skating? Oh, my God. You saying speed skating real quick? Who was the dude that had me, like, the most patriotic I've ever been in my life? He had the soul patch.
Matt something. USA speed
skater. I watched every single speed skater.
Apollo Ohno?
Yeah,
Apollo Ohno. That guy was electric. Do we have any good speed skaters anymore? Are we good at speed skating as a country right now?
I'm sure. I don't know.
That sport kind of rocks. When it comes to Olympic, like Winter Olympic sport, that one's...
Bobsled is sick, in my opinion.
The bobsled is the one that
I like watching the rowing, because it's just controlled white water rafting.
And just...
It's so sick.
Yeah.
That's probably the one sport I'm not watching during the Summer Olympics. Not the rowing races.
The downhill... It's like ski sloping or ski, whatever you call it, where you're trying to avoid
slalom?
The gates. Yeah. They do that with rowing, and it's controlled white water rafting.
Oh.
And it is the... It's kayaking. Kayaking, not rowing.
Okay.
Kayaking.
There's kayaking in the Olympics?
It's so sick, dude. So sick.
Really?
Highly suggest you go check that out. Curling's one of my favorite pastimes as well.
The Olympics are this year, aren't they? The Summer Olympics?
Yeah.
They are this year, but they're not this year's Olympics.
I know. Well, yeah,
they're still calling them 2020. They're still calling them 2020.
But
they're
supposed to be this summer, hopefully, to happen.
I am prepared to be extremely confused and thrown off.
No, you're not. You're going to think it's the Olympics.
No, but it's going to say 2020 Olympics, and every time I turn on the Olympics and it says 2020 Olympics, I'm going to get confused for like 30 seconds.
What year it is?
Yes!
Yeah,
I already don't know what day it is half of the time.
The Olympics are like that, and then the European Championship for soccer, that'll be on this summer, and they're calling it European Championship 2020, but it's not
weird.
2020.
So will next year be 2021?
It's not an every year thing.
It's not?
Every 4 years.
Okay, well, I guess that makes sense.
Speaking of soccer, did you see where the Super League Rebels could face two-year Champions League ban, according to sources? Alex, you're a soccer guy, so what does that mean and how do you feel?
I would not be happy with it, considering one of my favorite teams is one of the Super League
members. One of your favorite
teams
or your team? I feel like soccer is a very one-team type thing.
Yeah, I meant my favorite team.
I'm sure you did. What team do you root for? I think I've asked
Real
this.
Madrid, who lost
today. That's why Messi or Ronaldo was your GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost today in the semifinals to Chelsea. Really tough. But
sad.
It would be...
Pulisic, assist.
I think suspending the Super League teams for 2 years would be more detrimental to the Champions League committee than they may think.
And it also...
Yeah, at that point, you're hurting your league.
Yeah, because in the final... You have Man City versus Chelsea for this year. Both of those teams were Super League teams.
Yeah.
And it's also, I mean, they already aren't, like, the businessmen, whoever wanted to make those decisions, are already not too excited or happy with the system that's going on, and they try to leave. So to overcorrect and punish them too much could piss them off even more and see just another revolution.
Yep.
And so I would be nervous about that. Did you see where Aaron Rodgers called the GM of the Green Bay Packers, Brian, I remember I can't pronounce his name, called him Jerry Krause.
Yeah, I did see that.
that's a good one, Aaron.
It's pretty funny. I think it's pretty messed up that his own teammates are like leaking stuff at this point, though. That's a team group message on cell phone.
Jordan Love.
It was probably Jordan Love. No, you think Jordan Love is in that group message with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think Aaron Rodgers talks to him.
Good point. Devontae Adams had a very cryptic tweet
that.
The other day.
Like, I think Jordan Love's take, or Aaron Rodgers actually talks to Jordan Love and stuff. Like, I don't think he takes Jordan Love's existence there, like, personally to Jordan Love.
No, I don't think he dislikes Jordan Love, but just out of principle, he's not going to talk to that.
I mean, like, if your
He doesn't talk to his own family.
If your girl goes and cheats on you with someone.
He won't talk to the GM after that.
But, like, if your girl goes and cheats on you with someone, or your guy goes and cheats with a girl, like, you would still be mad at that person who they cheated with, even if they didn't know anything. Like, you're still
I wouldn't be mad, but I'm not going to go hang out with
them. Exactly. I guess that's a better way.
I'm not going to be their friend.
I think most people probably...
Who knows? He could be a nice guy, after all.
He might be.
He's got good taste, apparently.
He's the guy that's probably going to take my job, or was here to try and take my job. You know what? I don't think I'll be that guy's friend.
Yeah. Devontae Adams had the tweet on May 3rd, gotta appreciate what you got while you got it.
Hmm.
A little cryptic right there. This league type stuff.
God.
Aaron Rodgers a little too mean? Was the Jerry Krause thing over the line?
No, it's funny.
I feel Jerry Krause is like a top tier insult. Like that's like bad word level. There's levels to like bad word insults, and like the Australian one is the real like, oh, those are fighting words type deal.
Right.
I think calling a GM Jerry Krause is the equivalent
to
fighting words. Like
that's pretty rough.
That is bad.
Yeah. But it's funny. But it's a good one.
Looks wise, style of running a system-wise. Like, everything was just so bad about that Jerry Krause man that if you get insulted like that, you can't come back from that. That's one of the ones where the whole lunchroom goes, oh, right as they say it. Like, you right. can't come back from that.
No.
You have to retire.
Yeah. Maybe he does quit. You know? Maybe this is the nail in the coffin.
I doubt
it. Maybe he's done.
If you're the Green Bay Packers, obviously not the GM, but if you're the Green Bay Packers, if you are anybody involved with the Green Bay Packers organization, are you trying to convince the GM to quit as well? Like, are you not like going up and be like, hey, man, like,
I mean, if I'm Devontae Adams, I will.
Exactly. Like, are you not walking around and be like, come on, man, really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I didn't love the guy, if we weren't like best friends. You know, it's one of those things like, man, I wish we could keep Aaron Rodgers here, and then just kind of give him a look. It's like, hey, we could have Aaron Rodgers next year. And just stuff like that.
Passive aggressively.
Yeah, I wouldn't outwardly be like, hey, bro, just quit.
Strong hints.
Just get out of here. Quit. What are you doing? But he would know that, you know, the team would probably be better off if he did. If he loved the team, he would quit.
If
he was a real Packer. You know, I mean, if he was a true cheesehead.
The Packers are, like, the only team in the NFL that could have, like, that stage. Like, you saw Man U, I believe it was, who stormed the field and canceled, got the game canceled and overtook the pitch and just had a party on the pitch.
Yeah, I did see that.
There,
but now they're getting arrested, so.
It doesn't matter.
In the end, not worth it, in my opinion.
I think, soccer riots are the coolest thing ever because they all have flares, and just the flares with a flare in the left hand and a beer in the right hand is one of the most intimidating things of all time. But the Packers are the one team that could stage one of those riots. There's a gas station right across the street where you can get your flammable objects, and then you own the team. You are the team.
Yeah.
You got to speak up in this case.
That's true.
And finally, my last headline of the day, exercising kills. Peloton recalling all treadmills after reports of injuries and one death. CEO spoke up.
All treadmills.
All of their treadmills.
Gotcha.
CEO is in some hot water as well for not listening to the public safe, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission after having discussions about the issues with this treadmill already.
I've seen some disturbing footage online of what this treadmill can do to an unattended child.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think the child was like okay, but
sent him into the wall.
No, pulled him under.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Loch Ness Monster of treadmills?
I believe the child was okay. I hope so. Like, people in the replies said so. I didn't really, like...
Check up?
I didn't really, like...
Do any research?
Call, you know... Call
Is your
people.
Kid okay?
Yeah, I just kind of took the replies word for it. It was... Those treadmills need to be recalled. Also, the parent should have been watching their kid probably around a running
Stop
treadmill.
Stop making your kids exercise.
There was no one on the treadmill, and it was running... Pretty fast, with a child
near
next
it.
To it. Yeah, it was no.
CEO came out and said, "I want to be clear. Peloton made a mistake in our initial response to the Consumer Product Safety Commission's request to recall the Tread Plus." CEO John Foley said in a statement Wednesday, "We should have engaged more productively with them from the outset. For that, I apologize." Peloton shares closed the day down by nearly 15%, hitting a low not seen since September. That wiped out about $4.1 billion from Peloton's market value. So if you're a stock guy and you think Peloton might come back, summer bodies, maybe get in now, buy the dip. But I don't know if I would want to support a guy who ignored the U.S. Safety Commission.
Yeah, not a smart move as a business owner.
The regulatory agent said Peloton's treadmills are designed differently than its peers with an unusual belt design that uses individual rigid rubberized slats or treads that are interlocked and ride on a rail. That's instead of the thinner, continuous belt. There's also a large gap between the floor and the belt of the Tread Plus, leaving room for things to wiggle their way under, such as children.
Yeah, that's not good.
We all done with... Exercising, no more running for us?
Never again.
I mean, I'm out.
Like, yeah, pretty much done.
I mean, you know me. I ducked from the fly ball. I won't drive on the interstate. Seeing this, I won't get on a treadmill ever again.
I project you're in the bubble by 2024. A true bubble.
A true bubble?
Yeah, bubble boy. Yeah. You'll roll around everywhere.
I don't know, man. I was thinking about that the other day. Like,
you'll have little arms that you can stick out.
How much of a recluse could I be without being like... non-contributing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just go into my own hole and never, like, do anything in my life or something like that. Like, I still want to live.
Okay.
But, like, how far removed can I make myself? Because, like, everything scares me. Right. I
noticed that the day of the foul ball.
Would you be Bubble Boy, like, in Seinfeld?
He just made that joke. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Bubble Boy, where maybe just wear, like, a bike helmet and, like, knee pads and elbow
really
pads
sad?
Everywhere? I used to have to wear my life jacket. Like, we would go to marinas and stuff. Right.
I would have
just
to,
in case you fell in?
I'd have to wear my life jacket until we got into the restaurant and sitting down because I would always run two bodies of water and fall in.
How old were you?
Up until like 8.
Oh, God.
I used to.
You
yeah, this was a problem for me growing up.
I did.
Couldn't stop, man. I was addicted.
I just tried to.
I was like the first kid in America on a leash.
The call of the sea. You can't help it. You should have been a sailor.
No.
It called to you.
Releasing his inner dolphin.
Yeah, he was going.
I don't have the medical capability to be a military member. It's very sad. I
no,
need
just
the
a regular. You could be like a fisherman.
I did go to sail camp.
Like a shrimp boat guy.
Actually, my first concussion was from sail camp. Have you ever heard of the boom?
Is that the thing that moves?
The boom is called the boom because that's the sound it makes when it hits you.
Gotcha.
And boy, oh boy, did it not miss my big head. The only thing that hasn't grown in my life has been my head. My head has stayed the same size my whole entire life. I think that's why I fell into bodies of water, because I was looking down into these bodies of water and my giant head was just
pull you to
exactly.
It.
It's a gravitational pull.
It was like in the George Lopez show when it would show him as a child, his head was still the same size.
Exact same
thing. That makes
thing.
Sense. Yeah. Okay.
No, but I did wear a helmet as well. I would not like on purpose. No, let me rephrase that. Not as a requirement, not because I would fall, but I would wear a helmet and then scream at people as we would drive by in a convertible and have fun with it. And so I was a helmet wearing, leash wearing. Because
you were going to fall out of the car.
Yeah, I was a problem.
Okay. Yeah. I you did not have to like tell me that. Like I could understand that.
Birthday's next. We'll be right back. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. As always, people have babies, and then we talk about them once they're famous, and it's no different today, as we got a pretty solid crop of people we got to talk about. Starting today, give me 1 second to finish pulling all of these up. Solid show today. Alex, my last show with you, as I won't be here tomorrow. You got any final thoughts, any final words, any thanks, any lessons you want to know from me before we leave? Anything you got to say, think about?
No.
All right, great talk, man. You don't know advice I can give you, you think?
No. No, but I appreciate your gratitude, Will, and accepting me in here, as you were one of the first people I met.
Of course.
When I started here, and you're very helpful to me in learning how to do podcasts, how to do the streams, and just anything, really. You were very helpful and always offering help, and I thank you for letting me on your little show and giving me a part, giving me a voice, so thank you.
Very quick backhanded compliment inside of all of those compliments with the little show, but you're welcome. I appreciate you being a helpful hand on the show, as always. Starting
that was
a little show because Tucker's on it.
good one. It was Petite and Proud Day yesterday. We celebrated. That's what I thought. Give me some skin on that one.
Whatever.
May 5th, 1988, London, England, 33 years old today. Pop singer. Popular singer who became mainstream success
Ed Sheeran.
19 when she released her 4 times platinum-selling album, 19, and won
Taylor
the
Swift.
Grammy Award for Best New Artist in 2009.
See ya.
She has had many, many songs. She's known for cursing a lot on stage. Many songs such as Hello, Rolling in the Deep.
Adele.
It is Adele.
She curses on stage?
A lot.
Really?
If you, my cousin likes to buy concert tapes and watch them.
Yeah.
And she has a Adele concert tape, and she curses a lot.
That's where the Brits go.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's fair.
Very much so.
Yeah, she doesn't cuss in her music at all, though.
It's kind of hard to curse when you're
singing a love song,
yeah.
Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. You could drop an F-bomb in there somewhere, add a little sizzle to that chorus.
I think she might have before.
Maybe. Probably.
A lot of her music we hear on radio. But
right.
May 5th, 1989. Virginia, another singer, R&B singer. His debut self-titled album went double platinum, and his single Run It reached number one on the U.S. charts in 2004.
Nia.
No. Had a relationship.
Usher.
had a relationship with Rihanna where there was a
Chris Brown.
There you go.
It was one of those three. Like you just narrowed it down. And also the elephant in the room, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May 5th, 1818, Germany, passed away March 14th at the age of 64 in 1883. Philosopher, renowned political theorist, philosopher, and economist.
Gutenberg.
No, that's the dude who invented the printing press. He famously penned both Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto.
Karl Marx.
Karl Marx is correct.
Woo!
Skip two of these and hold them just in case we need them. Football player, May 5th, 1995, Pennsylvania, 26 years old. Running back who was selected in the third round of the 2017 draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was James Conner.
It was James Conner.
Ha ha!
Wow. Good one.
Another football player from
cool.
Gretna, Louisiana. Every single time
yep.
I do that.
You
May 5th, 1980. 41 years old today. Hard-hitting Louisiana. NFL defensive back who was selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fourth round of the 2003 NFL draft. Won two Super Bowls with the Steelers, XL and XLII. Played at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. Had a decent media career. Not quite the one of
what
one Ryan Clark,
did you say?
But he did play with Ryan Clark on the Steelers at a defensive back position.
Ike Taylor?
Ike Taylor is correct.
Oh.
May 5th, 1959, Ridgewood, New Jersey, 62 years old today, journalist, NBC Nightly News anchor who replaced Tom Brokaw in 2004.
Lester Holt.
Brian Williams is correct.
No!
Big Brian Williams guy over there?
No, you said Tom Brokaw, and I knew it was Brian Williams, but Lester Holt just came out of my mouth.
May 5th, 1985. You'll bounce back on this one. Raleigh, North Carolina, 36 years old today. Interesting, he's from Raleigh because he ended up playing at the University of Texas. A basketball player, college basketball player, won the Big 12 Player of the Year in 2006.
Oh.
Forward made his NBA debut in 2006 for the Toronto Raptors before bouncing around to many, many places. You mainly know him for playing for the Rockets.
P.J. Tucker.
P.J. Tucker is correct. Alex. Surprised on that one that you did not get that one. We'll finish out with these last two birthdays, and then I got a couple of this days in history. These are two stretches. These are the only stretches on the board, so we're going to go ahead and get through them.
Sure.
This one, you definitely know her character name. I doubt you know her real name. Let's see if you can at least guess her character name. If you know her real name, go ahead and throw it out. May 5th, 1981, Arizona, 40 years old today. Actress who played this character on the television series Boy Meets World, and she also appeared in National Lampoon.
Yeah, it's Topanga.
It's Topanga. If anybody can, Alex gets the point right now, but if you can tell me her name.
He gets the point for Topanga? Yeah, I guess that's fair. He said it first.
I also said it.
Sure,
name.
I got you.
Anybody?
No.
That would be one. Danielle Fishel.
Okay. Danielle Fishel. Probably one of my first loves in my life.
Finally, a rapper I really much enjoyed passed away January 26, 2021. Very unfortunately, at the age of 21, he was born May 5th, 1999 in Georgia. Budding rapper
King Von
built a following posting his original music to his self-titled SoundCloud account where he has more than 100,000 followers. Some of his most popular singles include Faygo Dreams, which earned more than 1 million plays
within
the first month. Yeah, I did not know this. It was very sad. And also Flossing. I can't really give you initials because it's a number and an animal.
I know who it is, but I'm not going to be able to pull up.
If I had five of a certain barking animal and I added one more barking animal, I would have
six dogs.
R.I.P.
Gotcha.
To a fantastic
artist.
Who is
that?
You never heard of Blue
Faygo? You've definitely heard of Faygo Dreams. It's a
Faygo
fantastic
Dreams,
song.
Not Blue Faygo.
It's a fantastic song.
It's a pretty good song.
Finally, on this day in history, I'll just sprint through these real quick. 1978. This Cincinnati Reds player becomes the 14th player to get 3,000 hits.
First player?
Pete Rose.
Oh, well.
14th player to get 3,000 hits.
That's for you, Folky, if you're listening.
1969, nice. The Milwaukee Bucks sign number one draft pick. Who was the 1969 number one draft pick?
Will Chamberlain.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was Lou Alcindor at the time. 2018, Childish Gambino releases this music video to a wide acclaim.
This is America.
Correct. 1925, this one's for you, Tucker, because it's a little history. This Dayton, Tennessee teacher gets arrested for teaching evolution. What was the last name of this teacher, as it was the trial name as well?
I remember this, learning this in school.
Do you know the name? You can say
no.
It.
No.
Oh. If I had a military rifle and I zoomed in on it, I would be looking through
A Remington. A Scope. Scope.
It is the Scopes trial.
Gotcha.
John T. Scopes got arrested for teaching evolution.
Okay.
Remington thought a sniper and COD.
Wow.
I won't see you tomorrow. They will. It's been nice.
We love you guys.
There you go.
Let's get out of here.